So I was inspired last night when I had the opportunity to take a little time to read the mission of this beautiful place, the work that you're doing here, particularly the mission and vision of the Middle Project. And I do a lot of things. One of them is the Soul of Money work, which is really working with people in their relationship with money. I also am the co-founder of the Pachamama Alliance. Pachamama is a word that is Quechua, which is an indigenous group of the largest indigenous language group in the world is the Quechua people. They live in the Andes and throughout the Amazon in Central and Latin America. And that word means Mother Earth, Pachamama. Can you say Pachamama?
Pachamama.
Good. It actually means to them the earth, the sky, the universe, and all time. Indigenous people have an understanding of reality that's much larger than those of us who are kind of trapped in the material world. So the spiritual world for them is everything and everywhere, the earth, the sky, the universe, and all time. And the Pachamama Alliance is an alliance between indigenous peoples of the Amazon and the Andes and conscious, committed people in the modern world like you for the sustainability of life. So that's another initiative that I'm very deeply involved in and I'm a co-founder of. I'll talk a little bit about that. And then the third initiative that I'm involved with that is very dear to me and I think appropriate to share with you is the Nobel Women's Initiative. The Nobel Women's Initiative. And I've been very, very fortunate to work with the nine living female Nobel Peace Prize laureates. So in the more than 115 years of the Nobel Prize, 18 women have won the Nobel Peace Prize. Only 18 women, actually. It's another way of saying that. nine of them are alive today. And they came together when they realized there were nine of them to create the Nobel Women's Initiative to bring the cachet, the visibility, and power of the Nobel Prize. Put a spotlight on the subjugation, the brutal subjugation of women and girls, and particularly sexual violence against women and girls. So the Nobel Women's Initiative is something where I have the great privilege of working with the Nobel laureates. And you can imagine, I mean, working with Nobel laureates is just kind of like a dream would be for anyone. They are some of the most remarkable human beings on earth. They won the Nobel Prize. And one of the Nobel Prize winners is Lema Bowie. Lema Bowie. She's a woman from Liberia. She's a huge, powerful presence. Someday maybe we could get her to come to this church because she has an office here in New York. Her accomplishments are stunning, kind of more than you can possibly imagine. She won the Nobel Prize for her work to organize 3,000 women, most of them mothers, to end the brutal and atrocious war in Liberia. Liberia is a country that, as you probably know, was created by the freed slaves from the United States who went back to Africa and created their own nation. And that country has had a very, very difficult history since it was founded. And in the end of the 20th century, in the beginning of this century, it was in two very, very, very vicious and horrendous wars. And the women of Liberia, and this is a war you may have read about because people's hands and feet were cut off. Really horrible, horrible things were done to people. So this country is now recovering from brutal war. But how that war ended is Lema Bowie and 3,000 women surrounded the peace talks, which had taken place over and over and over and over again and never yielded peace between the warlords and the generals. They surrounded the building where the warlords and the generals were arguing with each other again and violently talking about not having peace. 3,000 women dressed in white, and they would not allow the men to leave the building until peace was made. And they were there not for an hour, not for overnight, not for days, not for weeks, but for months. They would not allow the men to come out of the building. They would not let any food or water in. They would not let any garbage out. They made sure that those men came to peace. And Lema organized that. A very, very brave woman. And I'm telling you about her because last night when I was invited to speak here, the topic was going to be how women are healing the world and how women are bringing peace to the world. And I didn't get a chance to talk about that. So I'm going to kind of steal a little piece of today. Is that okay with you, Jackie? And talk about that, because I believe that this time in which we're living is the Sophia century. I call the 21st century, which is the first century in the third millennium. So just think about that. This is 2014. We're sitting in this church in New York City. This is the 14th year in to the third millennium. And we're in the first century of the third millennium. I like thinking about that because it gives us a place in time that's way larger than our own life. And when you can live in a context that's way larger than your own life, it keeps you from being petty. It keeps you from being small. It keeps you from thinking that your problems are significant, when in fact you are placed in time at the beginning of the third millennium, where the choices you make, the way you live, actually can determine the future of life for the next 1,000 years. And so I think that this century, is about the emergence of the feminine. Now, the last century, the final 100 years of the second millennium, was really about war and the fear of war, if you think about it. World War I, many people say, was the war that ended peace. World War I, many people say, was the war that ended peace. It began the construct of a century of war, where 100 million people died in war. So the 20th century, we kind of did the war thing. Now, it's not that we don't have wars going on now, but historians say we have fewer wars on Earth now than we've ever had in history. That doesn't excuse the wars we have now, but it's important to take the long view so we can actually see progress when it's happening, claim the progress, take the ground, and own it so that we can move forward. And one of the characteristics, I believe, of the 21st century is that it has the feeling of the Sophia century, at least to me. The word Sophia refers to wisdom, particularly coming from the feminine aspect of who we are. So here we are in the what I'm calling the Sophia century, just getting it going. 14 years isn't really that many. We've had a few false starts, yes. A couple disasters, yes. And at the same time, we're reclaiming our relationship with our mother, Pachamama herself, Mother Earth. We've lost our footing, our love, our centeredness in our relationship with our own mother, Pachamama herself. So in many ways, this century could be about, and I hope that it is about, the emergence of the feminine in men, in women, in children, in society, in spiritual practice, in the way we live. And so I thought it would be really beautiful, given that my voice is a little shaky, to include my colleague, Sarah Vetter, who came with me on this trip. Luckily, she was here last night and is here today. And I have great respect for the Nobel women and have the great honor of working with them, and so does Sarah Vedder. And she was recently in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the DRC. You've heard of the DRC probably. This is a place on earth where the oppression, suppression, subjugation, and violence against women is at its worst on planet Earth. Some people call the DRC the rape capital of the world. There is something, Sarah will say the statistics, but some horrendous number of rapes every hour in the DRC. And it's become a institutional technique or tool of war. So when a powerful woman like Jackie Lewis starts to motivate and mobilize people to stop the war and to bring peace, she would be raped 20 times so that she couldn't walk, so that she couldn't speak, so that she could no longer feel her sense of self-worth or power. And that would be the strategy rather than killing her. And that's the way things are being conducted in that part of the world. So the Nobel Women's Initiative has focused the enormous power, quality, character, cachet, and visibility of the Nobel women on these horrendous hotspots in the world where almost unconfrontable things are happening to women and girls. And because it's so unconfrontable and so unbearable, people don't want to hear about it. People go numb to it. And so it doesn't get addressed. It continues. But the Nobels have the courage, the stature, the depth to tackle it. And so recently, the Nobel Women's Initiative conducted a delegation to the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Sarah Vedder was on that delegation. And she has a two-minute clip of Leah Mbowe talking about the women there. And I thought it was so perfect for today, because we're in the middle church, and there is something about that phrase, the middle, that was very important to the women in the Congo. So I'm going to ask Sarah to share for just a few minutes about that. Is that okay with you? So please welcome Sarah Vedder.
Can you hear me? Okay, I think Lynn does this trick of having laryngitis. It's not really. the trip to the Congo, I look at my life as before that trip and after that trip. It's known as the rape capital of the world. Every hour, they say 48 women are raped, and I'm sure it's much more than that because they don't really share that. So the... being with Leah Mbowe, we were there for 10 days, and we were with grassroots activists. We were with rape survivors, sexual violence survivors, women that came from all over in this eastern part of Congo, walking for days, traveling for days to gather to be inspired by Leah and our delegation. We were in a place called Bukavu, which is really a part that nobody would want to go to unless you were part of this delegation, but it's not a place you would necessarily travel to. And a group of women, probably about 30 women, came for a sexual survivors workshop. And they all, it was the first ever of this type of workshop, and Leah was coming to inspire them at the second day of the workshop. So we sat in this room, and one by one, these women of all ages, from all areas in the Congo, shared their story of brutal, horrific sexual violence and rape. And, you know, women that you almost can't tell their age, women that were in their teens, women that were in their 20s, women holding babies, women that were raped by 10, 15 military men. Rebels, women that were raped by, you know, family members over and over again, and then discarded, and, you know, and having it culturally being such a an area where you can't really share, you know, what happened to you because you would be ostracized from your family. And one by one, these women, I mean, their whole thing is to be heard, is to tell their stories. They told their stories with such excruciating detail. Telling their story was really a big part of their healing. All of us there listening to their stories with great compassion and just being there to hear for them was part of their healing as well. So one by one, these women, you know, cried. They consoled each other. I mean, I was just so blown away that have been abused so horrifically that there still was a huge compassion for one another. You know, that they weren't just so hardened and like, this is so despicable and so horrific and so full of despair, I can't even function. But they consoled each other. They held each other. They patted each other's back. But as a person from where I come from, it seemed to me like this just seems unconscionable. Like, how is there any hope in any of this? I mean, these women can't go back to their lives. Their husbands leave them. They can't feed their children. They work in the mines in the Congo, and they, you know, they prostitute themselves for a dollar to feed their 11 children. So it just seemed completely unconscionable to me. Where was the hope? Where was the, you know, how can we come away and share this in a way that gives hope to all women? So at the end of this 10-day incredible delegation, where we saw story after story and sat with woman after woman, child, Lema was interviewed, and she was interviewed throughout the whole thing, and one of the interviewers said, Lema, where do you find hope? What are you going to bring home? What are you going to share at home about this delegation? And how are you able to keep talking about this and sharing this? And she said, I look at every single one of these stories, every single story that we heard from Jeannie and Noami, and every single story as a circle. And in the circle is rage and despair and shame and guilt. And I can't tell one person that story that I've heard how long their pain will last or how long their shame will last. But every single story in the middle, there was a beauty in the middle. There was an extraordinary beauty in the middle. The activists came together. The women came together in the middle. Every single story, no matter how horrific, how horrendous, the activists, the women came in the middle, and they took me to the hospital. And they walked me for 5 miles to the medical center to get help. And they walked me back to my home so I could, you know, express what happened with my children. And they came together, and every single story, no matter how horrendous, there was a beauty in the middle. And that beauty is what has me bring this home. That beauty is what has me share this with every person I can on the planet, so that everyone can know, no matter what the despair, no matter how horrific, there's always a beauty in the women in the middle, where women come together every single time. So that was what got me home. That was what got me through the trip. That was what I could tell got these women to get through their stories over and over and over again. It's so relevant to this, the middle church here, to me, every single person here is a beauty in the middle. This is such a beautiful place in the middle, and that I truly believe that no matter where you're from or what your background is, we can all come into the middle and make a huge difference, especially in women that are subjugated like that. So should we show so I'll show you just a 2-minute clip that kind of shows the power and the solidarity and the women that I'm speaking of, that you'll see their faces that shared their stories and that are there making a difference in the Congo, that are making a difference for us here.
Thank you, Sarah.
You have to remain strong, because tomorrow, when the history of Congo is being written, they will not write about those men when they write about you. Great. strong, resilient, powerful. That would be the story of the Congolese women.
Thank you, Sarah. To consider the possibility that no matter what the circumstances are in your life, no matter what you face, no matter what disappoints or hurts or crashes or doesn't turn out, there's this incredible place in the middle, this circle, where we come together, where we share the best of who we are, where we hold each other, where love heals. And it's a particularly quality of women, although men have it too. You know, one of my closest and dearest and most beloved teachers is Fred Johnson over here, who I think you all know, who every time I just think about him, I get teary because I love him so much. He's brought so much joy to so many people. And he's not afraid to face the darkness. But always, he faces the darkness with his light. I'm sure that's true of your experience of Jackie. She's not afraid to face the darkness. I'm sure there's a lot of things she has to handle in this part of the world, in this community, in this challenge of being a minister. But what she always brings to the darkness is the light. And that's what's there in the middle, in that circle that Sarah talked about, that Lema talked about. And so I was asked to talk last night about how women are healing the world, and that's just a little snippet of how women are healing the world. But it's really, really more than that. I wanted to create this context for this 100-year period of the Sophia century, the century when women will take their rightful role in co-equal partnership with men and the world will come back into balance. There is a beautiful Native American prophecy about the bird of humanity. And that prophecy says that the bird of humanity has been flying for a long time, primarily with one wing. And that one wing has been flapping and working so hard while the other wing is not yet fully extended and is really working to extend, but not yet fully extended. So this wing, the male wing, has become overdeveloped and has had to become violent. And the bird of humanity has been flying in circles. But in the 21st century, the bird of humanity's other wing will fully extend and fully express, allowing the male wing to relax a little bit, and the female wing to extend fully, and the bird of humanity in the 20th century will soar. So I suggest that that's what's happening, and that we can both observe that that's what's happening and generate that that's what's happening.